it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll be sublime.
In the concubines. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. He's an NFL legend. I'm a big ear blogger. What up, B?
What's up, big ear blogger?
Got some booze today.
I see. Like I walked through the little media room, everybody got some booze. If they start hitting it, they're going to
be a
festival.
Heck of a press conference.
Press conference today.
We always read the press releases from the Commanders. The Commanders, and I'm guessing it's called Bottled, B-O-T-L-D, launch Old D.C. Spirits. They got Tailgate Tea, Hard Peach Tea, D.C. Mule, and Half and Half. So, you want one? It's a little early.
Give me a little time. Give me a little time.
Do you think there's any chance the D.C. Mule is actually Charlie Mule?
Nah. If it is, I'm not drinking it.
I trust Chuck. Obviously, we're out here in Ashburn as the Commanders are getting ready for the Bears on Monday night. Going to be a very interesting evening. I think with... You know, as we get closer and closer to this game, a lot of people are going to start talking about the Hail Mary. Yesterday, Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels.
They gave it a one-finger salute.
Dude, they wanted nothing to do with it.
But, I mean, that play happened. And everyone say it's a lucky play as it is. What makes anybody think that anybody on this side should be thinking about that? If you get to that point, let's be real. They got to that point because they damn blew a game. Let's be real. They were winning the game, then they began to falter. They fell behind, then they had to come back. So I wouldn't want to think about that.
Totally. That's
you know,
fair.
Chicago might want to think about it because, you know, they completely blew it because they had it and blew it.
Yeah, I mean, Washington, you know, I went back and looked at that box score. The Commanders really struggled in that game. They got up 9-0, but all they could get were field goals. And, I mean, they were getting field goals from the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
They kicked a field goal from the Bears' 8-yard line, Bears' 12-yard line, Bears' 9-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
They got up 12-0 with another second-half field goal. That was from the Bears' 29. Offensively, I imagine they were really frustrated by their inability to score in the red zone.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the yardage in that game, they outgained Chicago. They put up almost 500 yards of offense to the Bears' 300. So I think when Washington looks back on that, they're really happy about the Hail Mary. And if you want to back out the Hail Mary yardage, so that was 52 yards, right,
mm-hmm.
the actual pass play. So that means Jaden passed for about 275, and their total offensive output without the Hail Mary was, call it, 425.
That's a lot.
Like, they should have been dominant in that
mm-hmm.
game. I mean, you kick three first-half field goals from inside the red zone. You kick two field goals from inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah. I mean, you should be scoring in. But see, for me, what Washington should be concerned about is they're like they're first in the NFL in rushing.
Yeah.
Chicago's defense is 31st. Chicago's defense overall is 27th. You know, Washington should be concerned about that, where if we go out there and run our offense and do what we're capable of doing, we wouldn't have to worry about no Hail Mary. Let the fans talk about it. Let the media people. They hit the right note yesterday. We don't care. We don't worry about all that. We got to get us. And Dan has discussed this many a times. Come into this thing and make sure you're at your absolute best. If you're there, no need to worry about the rest of the crap. Because if I see, based on how I think football should be played still today, even with the passing, if you can run it and they can't stop you, they should not be able to beat you. Point blank.
Right. Yesterday was a cool day in the district. I went down to Caps opening night. A lot of excitement. Caps didn't deliver. 3-1 final wasn't the game you want, but exciting to have hockey back. I think we got NBA back in, I don't know, a week or two. October's a fun month because you get the kickoff of all the winter sports. Football's really humming. I think, you know, baseball playoffs are going on. You were checking some scores earlier. Shout out to Jeff and Lamphill. You all right, boys? The New York Yankees are cooked.
Yeah, they gone downstreamed out.
They're done. Jeff, Lamphill, you okay? Yankee fans?
They're very quiet today.
Very quiet.
Yeah.
Perhaps just not talking to us.
They'll be on somebody else's bandwagon.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to kind of watch the baseball playoffs continue. You got two more games today. Phillies, Dodgers, Brewers, Cubs. I think the biggest questions out here, Noah Brown back at practice yesterday, B. That was all kind of happening as we were wrapping up our show. I asked Noah Brown if I could talk to him yesterday. He said, no, he's not talking yet. So I don't know that that means something or nothing. But Terry McLaurin did not practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
How you feeling about Terry for this week?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't thinking that he would be 100% out there anyway. So at this point, I'm waiting till they tell us he's on the field and he could possibly go. A quad where you have to get a second opinion about whether you need surgery or not, that's not a not serious thing. That's something serious. So I don't know if it'll be this week or next week. You know, maybe if someone told him it'd be 3 to 4 weeks, that's why they didn't put him on injury reserve. But the ultimate thing, when he's out there, he's out there. If he's not, they got to figure out a way to keep doing it without him.
Yeah, the Noah thing is interesting. I think Terry could make a big impact this week. I think, though, like you started by saying, run the football early, often. Run the ball. And I think that will be the plan. I'm curious if you think the same. Chicago comes into this thing terrible against the run.
Yeah, and that's something you need to exploit. So, and let's be real. Chicago know that they were trying to exploit that. So they're going to probably be ready for it. And you got to be ready to do something off of it. You sit up there, they may put 8 in the box. Play action pass over the top. Find ways to circumvent what you think they're going to try and do. Because everyone looks at it, Washington's damn good running the football. Chicago's not good at stopping it. Washington's going to run the football. Chicago has to be thinking that too.
Right.
And they have to be coming into this game hell-bent on not letting them run it. So
the Bears should be a little healthier too,
yeah,
coming off their bye week.
Creeping people up and things of that nature. You know, have something off of it to counter whatever they try and do.
Yeah. Also, it should be a pretty cool game tonight for Commanders fans just because it's an NFC East game. We got Giants-Eagles tonight. Both coming off a loss. Eagles, their first loss of the year. The Giants, their fourth loss of the year. Giants had a lead against the Saints and blew it. Good luck with that. I'll definitely be watching that tonight. Our buddy Dave Zangaro from Philadelphia is going to join us in about 20 minutes to kind of preview what's going on in Philly. They're undoubtedly the more talented team between those two, but it's just kind of like unclear exactly what is going wrong for that offense. But, Brian, I wanted to ask you a question. So I recorded a podcast this morning with Tischler, and how much – Jaden and DQ don't want to talk about the Hail Mary. They've been very clear. Bears head coach doesn't want to talk about the Hail Mary. He's been perfectly clear. Understanding that football teams turn over pretty significantly year over year, but that still means roughly half, maybe two-thirds of your team is the same as the year prior. How much, if at all, does losing by the Hail Mary play last year impact the Bears' motivation for Monday night?
You know, it's going to be some people that's going to think about it. But ultimately, if you really look at that game, that one play decided it. But there were 5 to 7 other plays that one play ended it. The other plays decided what happened in that game. If they don't allow the other stuff, then guess what? They don't have – Hail Mary won't help us at all. Okay? Ben Johnson wasn't even there. So what, he's going to come in and tell us something? Yeah, man, last year they beat us by Hail Mary. He wasn't there. So he can't fake it.
Right.
You know, and for this team to be concerned about – that's the past, man. I keep saying that windshield is way bigger than that damn rearview mirror. Keep focusing on the past. And listen, it's a storyline. It pops. But it doesn't do anything for the game this year. You know, whether if every person on the team came back from last year, that will not help them win this year.
Right. That's kind of my point, is I definitely believe it's kind of similar to the, like, are the Bears a rival question?
Nope.
Right? I don't think they are.
They're not.
And
by
I
no
don't
stretch.
I think what's going on with Commanders and Bears fans fighting on social media, because Jeff, that's definitely happening. He told us that yesterday.
Commander right? fans are responding to what the Bears fans started all that crap last year. It wasn't the Commanders fan that started that. The Bears fans started, and especially after that game, they kept going with it. So you're not supposed to just accept their BS. You know, they won't throw it at you, throw it back. Or try to ignore them, which you probably can't, because they anything you do. Any post out there that somebody from Chicago got something to say about it?
I thought Jaden was really smart yesterday. He got asked about kind of the Caleb going number one. And I love just Jaden's kind of bluntness when he's asked something that he doesn't think matters. Yesterday he was asked about the Hail Mary. He's like, I mean, that Hail Mary isn't going to help us win a game on Monday, so what's the point? Mm. And he was asked about Caleb Williams. He said he got drafted number one, I got drafted two. Nothing we could do to change that. He's been doing his thing, so I always keep up with football in general. We got our hands full coming up Monday night with him and his offense and the whole team in general.
Yeah.
Some of this is completely fan and media fabrications.
100%.
Maybe those two don't love each other. I have no idea what their relationship is. They might be best friends for all I know. Mm-hmm. I am confident they have a relationship. They were in the same draft class. Caleb was playing in Southern California. Jaden's from there. Mm-hmm. They probably went to similar ceremonies and dinners. You know what I mean? I'd be shocked if they don't know one another. You don't have to be best friends. You don't have to be enemies. You could kind of just exist.
Why is it that fans and media feel like either you got to be best friends or enemies?
Right.
You know, there are a lot of people out there who they're not friends, they're not enemies, they're acquaintances. They see each other, they know each other enough to say, yo, what's up, man? They may talk for like a minute or two, boom, they go the other ways. But they don't hate each other, nor do they love each other. It's okay. I mean, just because you play sports against somebody, you know, and this is what kills me about a lot of fans sometimes, and even media people. There are media people covering teams that they don't even like, okay? There are media people who are covering the team that's directly against their opponent, the team that they love. There are fans that are married to people that like the Cowboys and the Eagles, but they love the Commanders. But then that's okay for them, but it's not okay for you. It's just a damn job. You know, I told you, whenever I played against my cousins or whatever, during the game, I was trying to beat him. Bragging rights, baby. Once the game was over, that's still my cousin. I still love him. You know, I don't stop liking him because he plays for another team. But they act as if just because you buckle up a helmet, you're supposed to hate everybody. No, you dislike the hell out of them while you're inside those lines. Once you're over with those lines, you're cool, unless the person does something stupid inside the lines. Then that may bring something, you know, push it to where you can't stand them no matter what. I have a few people like that in my history. So,
well, dude, I mean, think about, not to equate pro football with our golf game, but like, you and I spend a lot of time together. We play golf together. Mm-hmm. I can't beat you. Every once in a while, I flirt with it and I'm fired up about it. Or sometimes you piss me off when you change the bet on the 17th hole. But like,
hold on,
playing golf.
I don't change no bet.
Yeah.
JP.
We were up 2. And then on 17, you recalculated things, and we were only up 1.
No, and that exactly. Happened. I you were up 2 because you had miscalculated. I wouldn't edit it properly.
We had been up two for like three holes, no. And then we got to 17. You're like, all right, we got to check on this math.
Nah.
JP being bad at math.
Up two just to fool you.
JP being bad at math is the most likely answer.
Listen to me. He said on 17. You know why he said 17? Because that's when he made a stupid damn decision.
That's accurate. I'm not disputing what is accurate.
And remember, if you're up two and you win one, if you lose the next one, it's 1-1. It's a press.
But I agree. Like, I think because of the way last year ended and because these two quarterbacks went 1-2, and because, frankly, I think the Bears fans are desperate to think they didn't screw up. And it's not just Jaden at this point. They're desperate to think they did not screw up in taking
any one of the quarterbacks.
Because Drake looks really good. Bo Nix had a really good season last year. Jaden had the probably the greatest rookie season ever. And they're sitting here with Caleb, who's painting his nails and doing weird yoga, and they're like, oh, man, it's everybody else's fault. You know what I mean? The reality is Caleb has looked pretty good this season.
Yeah.
He has every fundamental tool you can imagine.
He does.
Like, his athleticism and arm strength is off the charts.
What did I say about him last year? I said, if he ever does stuff on schedule, we'll see what he's capable of. That's the only knock I had about him. Whatever he did, he purposely did stuff off schedule. And me watching his receiver's body language last year said he had to get that corrected. And they brought in Ben Johnson, and Ben Johnson feels like he's working on that. But you do see every once in a while when there's some pressure, he resorts back to who he is and who he knows. You know? But the only problem I've ever had with his game was that off schedule where he feels it has to happen. It doesn't have to happen.
Now, specific to Ben Johnson, I heard something yesterday that really kind of made sense to me. It seemed like the perfect word to describe. Uh-huh. Ben Johnson may go on to prove he is the next Sean McVay. He may go on to prove he is the next Adam Gase. We don't know, mm-hmm. right? But I think Ben Johnson's behavior this year as a head coach, where he's been prickly. He's been combative. He's had some weird sideline interviews with just nice sideline reporters. Like, having...
That may just be his way, man.
Yo, and that's fine. I think how he handled the Commander's job search of whatever that would be now, like 18, 16 months ago, I thought was not the most professional way.
Okay.
But he also designed some exciting offensive plays. Sure looks like the Lions are okay without him, but whatever, we're going to see, right? Like, we the sample size is entirely too small to make declarations of who or what Ben Johnson is.
Yeah.
But I was watching a video from the 106.7 account of our guy Danny Ruggie.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, at least to date, he had the perfect way to describe Ben Johnson. He called him a twerp. And I feel like Danny might have nailed it. Ben Johnson has showed some serious twerpish tendencies.
I hope he's not twerking.
Yo.
I hope he's just twerping.
I feel like twerp seems like a good word.
What he did last year was very, very unprofessional. But that does not stop him from getting the job. He's still got another job next year.
Totally.
He and listen, it probably is a blessing. It could be a blessing in disguise for Washington that he didn't come here. You know what I'm saying? So they ended up with a guy who seems to have built a great culture. They drafted some, Adam drafted some great people. This may be. I just want people to understand this is not the final product of what they are trying to put together. But they just were better than what we thought early. This may end up being something spectacular. So, and let's be real, both teams can win. Chicago could be better and Washington could be better. But the way he handled that, yes, that was very unprofessional. You know who should be mad at that? The Harris Group and the Peters. Not us.
Right. Doesn't matter to us.
We weren't paying him no money.
We weren't on the flight.
We weren't doing nothing with him. We didn't have one conversation with him. And the thing about the negotiations sometimes with players and coaches and all that, believe me, way more is said than what you know. And it could be just one little thing that may turn somebody off. Cool. If I'm not the place for you, don't come here. You know, and listen, what the rumors that were floating about what he was trying to get, he didn't get that in Chicago either, did he?
Right. I think we don't need to be mad at Ben Johnson. I'm not mad at Ben Johnson.
I care less about Ben Johnson.
I said this when a team goes to its backup quarterback, there is not a single rule in the NFL rule book that doesn't allow that team to win. You're still allowed to win games with your backup quarterback. Ben Johnson may very well prove to be a great coach.
He'd be our backup.
He may win Chicago's first Super Bowl in 40 years. But as of right now, I'm not sure I see that. But I did like Danny's use of the word twerp. I think there's been some twerpish tendencies. I'm not talking twerking, talking twerping.
Hey, Landfill, ChatGPT, get him to put up Ben Johnson twerping. Not twerking, but twerping. See what it gives you.
Oh, boy. I can't. The text thread's about to blow up here. Nobody go anywhere. We're getting an Eagles-Giants preview from our guy Dave Zangaro. They play tonight, Thursday Night Football. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, fellas, if you're still rocking those tired old polos with the floppy collars, looking like a dog running around with his ears just like JP sometimes, it's time to step it up. Collars & Co., you might have heard of them. You might have seen them on Shark Tank. They give you that crisp, dress-shirt look with the comfort of your favorite polo. Look, and I wear mine into the studio. I hit the golf course on it. And even if I want to go out, I can put them on. There are no wrinkles. You don't have to get a dry cleaner. Just throw it on and you're ready to roll. CollarsAndCo.com. And you can check them out in person right now. They have a new store opening up on October 15th at Congressional Plaza. Go over there and tell them, listen, I want my shirts to be looking like JP's and B. Mitch's. You can get 20% off orders right now, over $99, if you use the code BMITCH20. Or JP, is it JP Finley 20?
With an A.
JP Finley with an A 20. You can get 20% off over our orders over $99. That's Colin Co. Stay sharp, just like me and Jupe.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whenever you hear Hall & Oates, means we're going to Broad Street. Talk to our friend, Mr. Dave Zangaro, covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia. You can give him a follow at DZangaro, NBCS.
Great music town, bro.
Dave's a dear friend of the program. What's up, Davey Z? How we doing?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing good, Dave. What's happening with you, brother?
What's up with the Eagles, dude? How's everything going up there?
They are 4-1 and the sky is falling. No,
it's pretty remarkable how it goes, dude.
You guys know the way Philly is sometimes. It's there's a high expectation, a high standard this year. They've won some games, but they haven't really played to that standard yet. So there's a little bit of angst right now, especially offensively. They just haven't been clicking the way they want to click. Fair to say that happened last year too, and then things ended up working out pretty well for them. So we got to just see which way this one goes, because they got through four really tough games with wins to start their season, like really tough games. Yeah. On the road at Arrowhead, facing the Rams, who gave them a great test in the playoffs, facing the Bucks in Tampa, where they've had kind of some nightmares before, and they had the Cowboys in the opener, always a tougher game in the division. So they get through that 4-0, and you think, okay, they just have to figure it out, and they'll be okay. And then they finally lose a game against the Broncos, a game they had no business losing. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, it's time to get right. And lo and behold, they play the Giants tonight. So they have a chance to do that.
Is the running game just a little slower than it was last year? Because it seemed to be more explosive last year.
Yeah, it's a problem right now, because the run game was just so effective last year. And I don't think it's Saquon. You know, when a running back has that level of touches in a season, you worry about, what's he going to be the next year? Well, yeah. I don't think we've really seen the signs from Saquon that he's slowed down. I think it's more about the offensive line right now. And in hindsight, you know, we talk so much about the effects a big season like that can have on a running back. We don't really talk about the effects it can have on an offensive line, because those are the guys taking the hits every single time they run the football, and they like running the ball. offensive linemen do, but there might be some attrition this year. I think they've been a little banged up front, and all those big holes that were there for Saquon last year, those have really dried up. Last year he was leading the league, you know, by a wide margin in yards before contact. That's not there right now. Those holes aren't there. So, it's a big problem with their offense, because everything they did last year was kind of predicated on the idea that they were just going to bully you up front, and they're not able to do that right now.
So it seems like when they do run the ball, the receivers are mad. They're not getting – I don't know. I've known enough NFL receivers that I try to – I've learned to, like, limit my reaction to their reactions, because sometimes they're just reactionary people. But the A.J. Brown stuff doesn't seem to ever be going away. And I thought the on-field behavior on the last play against the Broncos was pretty damn weird. Maybe he's just trying to make a play, but it seemed overly aggressive with his own teammate right there. What have those guys said kind of in the days since that loss to the Broncos? And what do you make of A.J. Brown overall?
Yeah, there's a lot there, right? So receivers are receivers. We all know them, right? They want the football. And it's a weird position, because you're so dependent on other things going the way for you that it needs to go. And you're kind of out there just, you know, sometimes you're out there getting cardio, and it can be a lonely place to be. And I think last year the receivers were able to put their egos to the side because they were winning so much, and because the run game was so good. It kind of goes back to the run game. You know, A.J. Brown last year, he wants the football. Devontae Smith wants the football, but it's hard to argue against a 2,000-yard rusher, right? Like, everything offensively fed through that. So I think they were more willing to buy in. This year, what you're seeing is the run game is not as effective. And, you know, if you're A.J. Brown, if you're Devontae Smith, you're thinking, well, throw me the ball. I can help. I'm a great player. And I think that's kind of where it all stems from. And A.J. is an emotional guy. Sometimes he can't get out of his own way. You know, like a couple of weeks ago, he doesn't talk to the reporters after the game. I get it. Sometimes he needs some cool down period. But then he goes and he fires off a tweet and he starts off a storm, you know, and sometimes he can't help himself. I will tell you that Devontae Smith wants the football just as much as A.J. Brown. He just is able to keep it inside the building a little bit better. And, you know, I think that's probably the better way to go about it if you're worried about your image in the city, because A.J. Brown's image has taken a little bit of a hit over the last couple of weeks. But, look, you know, even you look at last week, Devontae Smith has a huge game, right? He has 114 yards receiving, big shot play down the sideline. He gets that because A.J. Brown draws Patrick Surtain. Like, he's still that good. So you can't lose sight of that. I know people in this city were like, man, Devontae's just the number one. We don't even need AJ. And you go, well, no, you do. It's like, look what's actually happening on the field. It's something they have to figure out. It seems like they took some strides toward everyone being on the same page this year between AJ, Jalen Hurts, and Saquon Barkley. They sat down for a meeting this week, and not like anything official, but just to try to talk some things through, because right now the offense is a work in progress, and that's the way you fix the drama, is you just make the product on the field better.
Now you can fix the drama if when he goes over the top, instead of stop running after he gets past the guy, keep running, he would have caught that pass and had probably 100 yards receiving as well.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and that was one
his job to talk to the media after the game. If he's not hurt, he talks to the media.
I'm with
there are some guys that have done that. AJ's not alone in not talking.
Yeah, but they're still
it's not right.
They're illegal. They're right. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Sure, and he did talk to us after the Broncos game. The weird thing was, you know, we all saw that on that route that he, you know, he did get rerouted a little bit by the outside backer, but I don't know. He had time to regroup. He got past the safety and then stopped. It was kind of a weird moment. He clearly didn't think the ball was coming his way, so he didn't run it out. And that's not great. You want to see the player run it out, because we've seen before, like, especially with this quarterback, he has the ability to buy time. And, you know, the scramble drills in this last game were just atrocious from everyone. They have to be better at that stuff, because you have a quarterback who can extend plays. You have to be ready for the football you know, 7 seconds after the ball snapped. That's just the way things go in this offense. And if you're not, you end up with a play that looks that bad.
How much of this is on the coordinator change? This dude, Petullo, is basically just Sirianni's buddy. They've been together every step of the way. You see what Steichen's doing with Indy. Kellen Moore left. You know, they just got their first win, but that Saints team is terrible. I see Philly is 30th in yards gained, but they still are scoring. They're 12th in points scored. How much of this offensive?
Yeah, they're red zone. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the tush push helps them, right? Like, if they get short yardage, they're going to get it.
But the defense also, the defense gets turnovers. They don't have very long to go.
How much of it do you put on the coordinator?
They're so good in the red zone. Yeah, the coordinator, right now, Kevin Petullo is like, he's kind of public enemy number one in Eagles land. And look, some of it's fair.
Dangerous place to be.
You know, like, some of it is fair. Like, I don't think he's done a particularly good job, but a lot of the issues we've seen offensively have predated him. Like, some of these things we've talked about before. Some of it's new, some of it isn't. Even last year, you know, we look at the 2024 season through, like, rose-colored glasses in Philly, but the offense underperformed for a lot of that season, and it just so happened that they did what they needed to do in the biggest games, and that counts, obviously, more. But, you know, we were talking in December that the passing game wasn't good enough, so it wasn't like everything was just firing on all cylinders the entire season last year, but Petullo needs to be better. And I think a lot of the stuff when we talk about like design and scheme, a lot of that isn't on him, quite honestly. They're running what Nick Sirianni wants them to run. They're running what Jalen Hurts wants them to run. The issue I have with Petullo is his sequencing of plays in games. I just don't think it's been good enough. And you guys have been around play callers, right? Like, some guys just have a knack for the sequencing of it. They have a knack for knowing what to call, when to call it, when to go back to a play, when to not go back to a play. And we just haven't seen that from him yet. And that's honestly a little surprising just because he has been around this team for so long. He's been around Jalen so long. I thought he'd have a better feel for it. Maybe it'll come. It's just not there right now.
All that said, are the Giants the perfect answer to what ails Philadelphia tonight? What do you expect to see tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think the Giants are very good. So you have it's kind of a perfect situation for the Eagles. They lose their first game in like a calendar year, and then they're back on the field on a short week playing maybe the worst team in the NFL. If they don't win this one convincingly, I think then it's a big issue. And it's not just this game. They have 3 games before the bye. It goes Giants, Vikings, Giants. So, you know, it's right there in front of them. They can't look at those 3 games. I can look at them and go, yeah, I mean, they can be 7-1, maybe at worst 6-2 going into the bye week. It's still a really good place for them to be.
Yeah. Dave, thank you for the time,
buddy.
Enjoy tonight.
All right, fellas. Take care.
All right, man.
That's our friend Dave Zangaro from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Give him a follow at DZangaro, NBCS. Check out the Eagle Eye podcast with Dave and Ruben Frank. Dave does a great job. I'm guessing if you're listening to me and B, you're probably not an Eagles fan, but it's always good to know what's happening in Philly. Trust me, Dave's one of the best. Give him a follow.
Figure it out.
Here's what we got a lot planned for today. Obviously, we wanted to take a look at that matchup tonight. John Walton's going to join us at noon to kind of recap everything that happened with the Caps last night. We are going to open these phone lines up. Simple question when we return. Can you root for the Giants tonight against the Eagles? Because that might be what's best for Washington. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian and JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, you need to turn to Root. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? You can adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the best, and they've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly.
The best part with the Root system is it's whisper quiet. You're not going to have any of that loud noises in the middle of the night. No more interruptions, just peace of mind. They do it through the variable speed compressor that ensures precise temperature and humidity control, which lets your Root system operate efficiently even in the most extreme conditions. It's comfort and performance perfectly balanced. B, you also got to tell them about the cash, man. You can qualify for federal tax credits up to $2,000 on heat pumps through 2032. Check out rood.com/federal incentives to learn more.
talking about Ruud, R-U-U-D, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in that DMV. And remember, if it ain't Ruud,
it ain't right.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dig if you will a picture. You and I engage in a kiss. Sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture? Can a courtyard, the oceans and violets in bloom?
So there was a dude last night. So I was at Caps opener last night doing live hits. I got to interview Ted Leonsis, which was really cool. And a dude came up to me and was like, yo, I love the radio show. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. I guess he watches on the YouTube stream. And he's like, I got to ask, that Prince poster that's behind you guys, did B. Mitch hang that up or did you get it? And I said, B loves Prince. And I got a Prince record and it came with that poster. So I brought it in. People are watching though, B. Yeah, I mean, the dude was able to identify the Prince poster behind us in the prison cell studio.
Yep. We love Prince. I do.
So I just tweeted something out, and I'm curious where you land on it.
Okay.
Now, you played for both of these teams, so you probably feel a little differently. I think you certainly enjoyed your time in Philadelphia way more.
Who told you that?
You enjoyed your time in Philadelphia way more than New York.
Oh, okay. I thought you were mentioning here, but
no.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Philly over New York, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, okay. So my tweet was the following. It's absolutely in the Commanders' best interest if the Giants beat the Eagles tonight. Can Commanders fans root for the Giants? And I gave four categories. Yes, no, I guess, or please tie. Can Commanders fans root for the Giants, Brian?
I'm going to say I guess.
So early votes. We got 100 votes in a minute. 70% said yes, they can root for the Giants. 8% said no. 14% said I guess. And another 8% said please tie. Professor Landini, can you root for the Giants tonight?
Yeah, definitely. I think that of all the NFC's teams, the Giants, because, you know, they've been pathetic for the last decade or something, I don't really care much about them. I don't really care if they win or not, but we need the Eagles to lose because they're good. And if a team other than the Commanders is going to win the division, it's going to be the Eagles. So, yeah, definitely go Giants. Hope Jackson Dart has a breakout game.
Jackson Dart might be hurting this thing.
Well, then I hope Jameis plays great.
He may be hurt.
He's coming in with a hammy. They say he's fine. He's going tonight. He's starting. But that he is – there's something with his hammy. He was on the injury report. I turn now to Jeff Walker. Jeff, well, let's all start here. Do we all agree that – I think the more losses Philly could take, the better for Washington. Just if this is going to be – you'd like to think in mid-October this is still a race for the division. I think it is. Philly's 4-1. Washington's 3-2. To me, you want the Eagles to take as many losses as you can to try to take over the division.
True.
So we all agree that rooting for the Giants at 1-4 is in the Commanders' best interest, correct?
It's in the best interest, but still hard to root for them bastards.
Jeffrey, can you root for the Giants tonight?
I will root for football being played. I do hope the Giants win, but you will not hear me going, yeah, when the Giants make a play. Not at all.
That's fair. I'm not expecting you to, like, paint your face or anything. You know what I'm saying?
But it might make him look better.
It might not be the worst idea, Jeff. Have you thought about painting your face?
Hey. Hey. I don't got to paint my face, man. I'm a handsome fellow.
Oh, Lord. Mercy. Let me put on my boots because the stuff is getting thick.
On a personal level, I don't approach the Giants with the same level of animosity as the Eagles or the Cowboys. Even though the Giants have won as many Super Bowls as the Eagles over the last 20 years, the Eagles have just done it more recently. The Cowboys haven't won one since whatever that would be, 95, right? They won 92, 93, and 95 seasons. But I don't know. The Giants, I don't think of the same way. Certainly don't root for them. Why, Brian, you are a Giants fan. How do you look at tonight? Before White Brian answers, I won't be shocked if White Brian is rooting for them to lose out just for draft status and to get everybody fired.
Nah, he wouldn't be thinking that.
I don't know.
Nah,
Dub B?
I think he really loves
I'm coach. Rooting for, well, it's against Philly, so I hope they win and then lose the rest of their games.
Oh, Lord.
You want them to go like 2-15?
Yeah, preferably like 4 wins. Get a couple mixed in. Maybe a win on Christmas.
Sports Grumpy replied, I can't root for the Giants to win, but I can root for the Eagles to lose. I think that's kind of the sentiment from Washington fans. Checking in on my Twitter poll real quick. Yeah, so 72% of people are saying yes, they can root for the Giants tonight. 14% said I guess. 9% said please tie. Only 5% said no. That's why they play the games. We'll watch
there
it tonight.
We're going to check it out.
Much like the Jags the other night, I fear the position I'm going to be in when it's time to make some bets tonight.
Oh, I want to see you do the – where they playing at?
New York.
Oh, let's see if the system works.
It's a big number, B.
You notice that system is judgmental.
It's a big number, B. We talked with our friend Dave Zangaro from NBC Sports Philadelphia about what's going on in Philly. And it's funny, man. Like, they have – turmoil and chaos, and they're 4-1. That's just life in Philadelphia. Yeah. If you missed any of our interview with Davey Z, just grab it wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. Nobody go anywhere. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.